The Christian life is a conglomeration of many, many different attributes, many different elements, all brought together in one individual. Now, what's interesting about these attributes is that they are all also attributes of the Almighty God. Thus, when you and I implant these attributes in our lives, when we develop them, and when we begin to manifest those attributes to other individuals, folks, what they are seeing is God living in us. Tonight I want us to talk about one of these attributes, and it is the attribute of long suffering. We're going to be looking at five different points as we consider this particular attribute of the Christian. Let's begin by looking at a definition. But before we do, notice Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Watch this next one. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Notice that one of the fruits of the Spirit that you and I are to show to other individuals, that you and I are to produce in our life, is long suffering. But what does that word mean? Well, some individuals very simply take the word, divide it into two words, long suffering, and then flip-flop those two words. Thus they come up with this definition. Long suffering means to suffer long with another. To suffer long with a situation. To suffer long with timing or other things of this world. But that's really not the definition of the term. It's really a combination of two words in the Greek language. It's a combination of makros, which means long, and then thumos, which means temper. Now you put those together and the definition means this: to be long-tempered. Now that is the opposite of being short-tempered, isn't it? You've all seen those individuals who have a short-tempered, haven't you? Individuals who just at the least little thing, just fly off the handle, get angry, get upset. Folks, that's not long-suffering. Long-suffering means to have a long fuse. And it takes a long time to be ignited. In the King James Version, there are three English words that are also translated by this one Greek word. One of them is the word patience. In Matthew 18, Jesus speaks a parable about two debtors, doesn't he? One of the debtors owed his Lord 10,000 talents. The Bible says that he goes to his Lord, he falls on his face, and he worships him. And he says this, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Basically, what he's saying is, Lord, have long suffering toward me. Be of long temper with me. Don't get angry. Don't destroy me. Don't throw me in prison. Show patience toward me. The second one is this, to bear long with. The Bible says in Luke 18, verse 7, and God shall avenge His elect, which cry unto Him day and night. Now note this. And though He bear with them long. Folks, to bear with is one of the definitions of this verse. Another one is patiently endured. The Bible talking about Abraham says this. And so when he had patiently endured, he received the promises. So all of those terms let us know what it means to have long suffering, to be an individual who suffers long or is long-tempered with others. Basically, what we are saying is this. You and I are trying to put off as long as we can the negative or what appears to be negative to other people. We're to be very slow to anger. We're to be very slow to avenge. And we are to be very slow to punish other individuals. That's the definition of long suffering. Now remember, I said that all of these attributes that you and I possess are attributes of God as well. And folks, the same is true of God. This is the second point in our lesson. God is long-suffering. Notice Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. The Lord God, gracious and merciful, what does He say? Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Folks, God is a long-suffering God. We've seen that in many, many places in Scripture, haven't we? What about in the days of Noah? Was God long-suffering? The Bible says He was in 1 Peter 3, verse 20, which sometime were disobedience, when once the long-suffering of God, watch this, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein eight souls were saved by water. Folks, God was long-suffering in the days of Noah. I don't know how long exactly it took to build the ark, but it was a long, long time. Many years Noah built that ark. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, verse 5, that during that time, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Folks, Noah was out preaching and teaching those individuals. Individuals would walk by, "Noah, why are you building this huge ark?" "Well, there's a flood coming." Why is there a flood coming? Because God is going to save individuals from that flood. He wants to save those that are righteous, and you need to repent and turn from your sins. Sadly, they didn't listen to that. But folks, God's long suffering transpired in the days of Noah. He didn't want to destroy the world. He didn't want to do away with all of those individuals that He had created. He wanted those individuals to be saved. So He was suffering long with those people. Another, in the parable of the two debtors. Remember I said a while ago, one of those debtors went to his Lord and said, "Lord, have patience with me and I will repay thee all." The very next verse, verse 27, says this, "And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave the debt." Folks, that individual who is the Lord there is God Almighty. That's a picture of what God does for us. You see, God doesn't want to destroy us. God doesn't want us to have sin in our lives. And here is an individual who begs and pleads, "Have patience with me." And what does God do? God forgives him the debt just as He has forgiven us our debts. He bears long with our transgressions. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16, makes mention of Jesus' long-suffering toward him. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering." Was Paul an evil man for a long period of time? Absolutely. Now, it may not have appeared evil to other individuals, especially to other faithful Jews at the time. But folks, Paul was an evil individual. Even Paul says that he was a blasphemer, that he was a persecutor, and that he was injurious to the cause of Christ. Here was a man who arrested Christians, threw those Christians in prison, tried those individuals, punished those individuals, even to the point of death. And he did that for numerous years of his life. And yet Paul says, "God was long-suffering with me." If you go on and read the rest of that verse, he says, "The reason that He was long-suffering with me is so that I will be a pattern unto all that believe after me, unto life everlasting." Folks, isn't that amazing? Paul says, "I'm an example of God's long-suffering in the life of an individual." Question: what is the purpose of God's long-suffering? And there's one word, folks: salvation. That's the reason God suffers long with humanity. That's why God doesn't just immediately explode the moment that you and I sin against Him. Romans 2, verse 4, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance," watch this, "and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" You see, folks, sometimes we despise the goodness of God, don't we? And we just trample upon all the wonderful attributes of God. And yet God just continues to what? Bear with us. And the reason that He does is He's giving us a long time to repent of our transgressions. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come yesterday? You see, there are some individuals, even of this congregation, who are living in sin, living in iniquity before God. Sin has overcome them, and if the Lord came yesterday, they wouldn't have today to repent. It would all be over. If those individuals don't repent today, and the Lord comes today, it'll all be over. But you see, the longer He waits, the more chance there is for salvation. 2 Peter 3, verse 15, an account that the long-suffering of God is salvation. What a wonderful statement, isn't it? You see, that's God's purpose in suffering long with His people. Point number three, Christians are to manifest this quality of being long-suffering toward others. We've already read the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Another passage of Scripture is the passage about love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity, I find this interesting, the very first attribute, charity suffereth long and is kind. Isn't that interesting that Paul says that the very first attribute of charity is suffering long with another person? The Apostle Paul in Colossians 3, verse 12, exhorts us to put on long-suffering. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, he says. Folks, it's like putting on a jacket. It's like putting on our clothes. We go over and we look at long-suffering. Yep, I need that. And we just wrap it around us and we wear that on a regular basis as children of God. Question is this, can you and I put on the quality of long-suffering? You see, some people think that it's almost just an attribute that you're either born with or you're not born with, right? Well, I'm just a person who flies off the handle. No, you're not. You've chosen to be a person who flies off the handle. You choose to be an individual who is quick-tempered. You see, long-suffering is a quality that you and I can develop and manifest in our lives, even if right now you are the most short-tempered person in the world. How do I know that? Because of Paul's example. Folks, Paul said that in his life he manifested long-suffering toward others. When you study the book of 2 Corinthians, part of the background of that book is this. False teachers had entered into the church at Corinth. And those individuals were doing everything they possibly could do in order to discredit the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He's not really an apostle. He's not really of God. He's really a fraud. Don't listen to Paul. So Paul writes 2 Corinthians in a response to those false teachers in that congregation. And part of his response is, folks, what you saw in me is the true ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6, he talks about some of the things that he manifested in his ministry toward those individuals. He says this, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, and by love unfeigned. Isn't it interesting that Paul says one of the proofs of my ministry is that I was long-suffering with you. You see, that's part of the true ministry of the gospel of Christ. An individual knows how to live with others, function among others, and not fly off the handle, but suffer long with those individuals. And those individuals would have had to have said, you know, Paul's right. When he was among us, he was one of the most long-tempered persons that we've ever dealt with. If there was anybody who knew Paul, it was Timothy, wasn't it? Timothy was with Paul on numerous missionary journeys. It was like he was Paul's apprentice, wasn't he? Paul was his mentor and trained him and nurtured him. And when he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10, he says this, "For ye know my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith," watch this, "long-suffering, charity, patience." I find it interesting again that Paul says, "Timothy, when you look at me, you know all there is to know about me. You've seen it. You've witnessed it." And one of the things that he brings up is his being long-suffering. Folks, listen to me. If there is any trait that you and I could manifest in our lives other than the trait of love for one another, it would be long-suffering toward each other. Let's look at some application. Being long-suffering. You see, you and I need to be long-suffering when it comes to the trivial things of life. What you talking about, Vic? How about this one? Get cut off in traffic. Somebody cut you off in traffic, what do? Rah! You just go crazy, don't you? Thank the Lord, the windows are raised up. Nobody can hear you. Glad that your two hands are on the steering wheel, because you might do something with those that isn't too pleasant. Folks, long-suffering in traffic. See, this is just trivial stuff. What about this one? The long, slow line at the grocery store. We got off that cruise line yesterday, and we were pretty close to the front. And we go walking down this aisle, ready to get out of customs. Well, we moved into another line, and all of a sudden, after we moved, they opened up this line. Three people behind us were first. Now, we could have just gone ballistic, could we not? What are you doing? I should be up there. And we do that sometimes. Have you ever seen people just go off like crazy in the grocery store because of long lines? How about this one? The rain knocks the TV set out. We went to AT&T the other day, and the lady's trying to talk us into a satellite again. We got a cable line, because I don't like my TV to go out when it rains, because I'm not too long-suffering. And I asked her, I said, "I'm not getting that crazy thing." I said, "That thing knocks out when it rains." "Oh, they've perfected them. They're much better now. They don't go out in the rain." That ain't true. But the very moment that it goes out, it's the best part of the movie. We're right at that place at the ball game where everything makes a difference, and it goes out, and when it comes back on, you've missed everything. And you just turn it off and go to bed. But sometimes we get angry with that kind of... See, the little trivial things in life that we get angry at. We'll come back to that in another point in just a minute. What about in the trenches, folks? We've got to be long-suffering in the trenches, don't we? What do you mean by that? Well, what about at home? That's the trench, isn't it? You come in one day and you got this old nagging wife. And she nags from 4 till 9. 4 till 10. 11. Go to bed, woman. What do? Folks, you just got to be long-suffering. But you know, sometimes we men aren't great either, are we? We come in from a tough day, a bad day. And what do? All of a sudden, we start taking it on everybody in the house, don't we? Including our wife. Guess what a wife has to do? She's got to be long-suffering. I find it interesting that we adults think children ought to be adults. And sometimes children get up on the wrong side of the bed. I advise put them back to bed and say, "Get out on the other side." Sometimes that doesn't work, though, does it? And folks, guess what? Parents have to be long-suffering with their children in those instances. What about at work? Co-workers don't always do what they're supposed to do. They don't always fulfill their responsibilities. They aren't always as quick as we want them to be. They don't always say exactly the things we want them to say. And guess what? We have to be long-suffering, don't we? All of you have a perfect boss, or have had in the past, haven't you? Kind, pleasant, easygoing, always complimentary, never on your back. No, that's not the way bosses are. And folks, sometimes bosses come in and guess what? From the top down, they have been beat to death. And guess who they're going to take it out on? The worker. Yeah, you. And guess what? You have to be long-suffering in those cases. At school, an unfair teacher. Maybe you have been wrongly blamed for something. Given a grade that you really did not deserve. You know, today in public schools, children just go off on those things, don't they? We've got to train even our children to be long-suffering in those situations. What about this in our training? You see, folks, sometime in our spiritual training, we're not growing in knowledge, we're not growing in our faith as quickly as we desire to grow. We're not seeing the development that we really want to see, and we have to be long-suffering even with ourselves, don't we? Sometimes we fail at spiritual tasks. We try to do something, we want to do something, and yet when we do it, we're not the best at it. We make a mess of everything. Everybody gets angry and upset with us. And all we want to do, I'll just quit then. No, folks. Just be long-suffering with yourself. I made a mistake. I messed up. Guess what? I can get better tomorrow, can't I? I learned from this experience. How about this one? We need direction in our lives. We need answers. And yet, all those directions and all those answers just aren't forthcoming. And we get angry and we get upset because there's not the direction and the answers that we want. Sometimes we've got to be long-suffering when it comes to transgressions, don't we? Someone trespasses against us. That's going to happen from time to time, isn't it? Somebody's going to say the wrong thing, they're going to do the wrong thing, they're going to act the wrong way toward us, and we've got to be long-suffering to those individuals. We even have to be long-suffering in the attacks by our enemies, don't we? You see, our enemies are relentless. Our enemies despise us. And they're just going to continue over and over and over to battle against us. And it would be very easy for any one of us to say, you know, I'm just going to give up, throw in the towel and quit. No, suffer long, folks, even when transgressions are against you. How about this, the trials of life? And many of us in the congregation are going through these. Problem after problem after problem after problem. You think you get one problem solved and another problem is there? Guess what we have to do? We've got to be long-suffering, don't we? Pain. Pain that is deep, pain that is hurtful, pain that is just continuous on and on and on. Folks, again, we've got to bear long, don't we? We've got to patiently endure the definitions of long-suffering. No answers to your suffering. You've gone to this doctor, you've gone to that doctor, you've gone to this individual, that counselor, this therapist, that therapist, and absolutely nothing seems to work, folks. You've just got to suffer long, don't you? What about God's timing? You see, it's easy sometimes for us to not be long-suffering when it comes to the timing of God. No answers to our prayers. It'd be interesting to know what the longest time was between a prayer made and a prayer answered, wouldn't it? I mean, in a positive way. It could be years sometime. And I just have to bear long with God even and wait on His timing, don't I? What about this one? Success doesn't come after hard work. I was telling somebody the other day, my mind is constantly racing, trying to think of ideas and things to do and programs to implement in the congregation. Constantly, I'm thinking about those things. And fortunately for me, here, the elders have been very kind, and they've implemented numerous things that I've asked for. And I told somebody the other day, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just finally reach one work, just one, that's all I'm asking, just one. That would just boost the congregation by about 30 or 40 in number. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Jump over that 100 mark, get up to about 125, 150. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? This building would seem almost full, wouldn't it? You see, you just desire things. You preach a sermon like this morning. Elders are responsible to feed. You're responsible to eat. A third of the membership doesn't come back. They're not here to eat, folks. That's frustrating. That's aggravating. Ah, those brethren don't want the truth down there. Just give up, throw in the towel. No, Folks, you just suffer long and keep preaching, don't you? Because you're thankful for the ones that are here, the two-thirds that do come back and want to be fed the Word of God. How about this one? The Lord doesn't come back to get His saints. Can you imagine living in the first century? The Lord had promised to come back, and a loved one of yours passes away, and you're thinking, man, he's not coming back. Another loved one passes away. When's he coming back? What if they were to rise from the dead today and know that it's been 2,000 years and the Lord still hasn't come back? My, that's a long time. Folks, I'm not on my time, are you? We're on God's time, aren't we? And I can't get frustrated about the Lord's coming. I've just got to wait and be patient because one of these days He is going to come again, isn't He? So you see, there's a lot of application of long-suffering in a lot of parts of our lives that we need to put in effect. The question, though, is this. How do we develop long-suffering in our lives? I'm just going to give you a few little brief hints, a few little things that we can do that help us to be long-suffering. Number one, be intentional. The Bible says this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I got a quick temper. Okay, fine. Get up tomorrow morning and say this. Today, I'm going to suffer long, all day long. I am not going to be short-tempered at all. Write yourself a note. Carry it around. Put it on your forehead. I don't care. Put it on a mirror. Put it in your car. Put it everywhere. Today, I'm going to be intentional. I will suffer long with others. So that's the first thing. Be intentional. Be focused. I will develop this quality in my life. Secondly, keep things in perspective. What I mean by that is think. You see, a lot of people don't think, do they? The Bible says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Think. Little child gets up, spills their milk. And I see parents do this all the time. Spill their milk and guess what? Mom or dad just goes off on that little child. Folks, a little child is a little child. They don't have the motor skills of an adult. Most kids aren't over there thinking in their mind, you know, I'm just going to pour this milk out to make mom mad. That's not why they do that kind of stuff. You see, you've got to stop and think, you know, this is a little child. They didn't mean to do that. Keep it in perspective. An individual cuts us off. Oh, look at that dude. Well, maybe he's in a hurry. Maybe his wife's in the hospital. Maybe he's had a bad day. Maybe, just maybe, he didn't even see me. He has no clue that I'm even here. Folks, think about things. Now, notice this next point. Win the small daily battles of life. That's what I was just talking about, isn't it? A co-worker isn't doing their part on a project. They're slow today for some reason, and you're getting frustrated. You need this stuff to get your part done, and all of a sudden, you just go off on them, don't you? Folks, don't do that. They may be having a terrible day. They may be sick. They may have gotten some bad news the night, but we don't know what's going on in their lives. Suffer long with them, because tomorrow, guess what? They may have to suffer long with me, mightn't they? You see, I'm not always the perfect person either. How about this next one? Master your feelings, folks. Control your feelings. Control your tongue. Control your behavior. Well, I just couldn't help it. Yes, you can. The Bible says this, he that keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. Isn't that wonderful? That's Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. If you learn to discipline your mouth, discipline your tongue, guess what? You keep yourself out of a lot of trouble. What did Paul say? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Apostle Paul knew I've got to discipline myself. I'm in control of everything that I do. I don't have to act like this. I don't have to say these things. I don't have to think these things. I don't have to feel a certain way. I can choose how I'm supposed to live. And that's what we have to do, folks. We've got to become the masters of our lives, the masters of our minds, the masters of our body and feelings, and make certain that we conform them to the Word of God. How about this one? Trust God's providence. For we know that all things work together to them for good, to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, the Bible doesn't say everything that happens to you is good. That's not what it says. It says all things, what? Work together for good. After class this morning, someone came to me and was talking to me about Saul. And, well, they really said this. You know, sometimes things are going on in our lives that we think are horrible and bad, and yet the providence of God is at work. Wasn't that the way it was with Saul? Why was Saul even going anywhere this morning? He was going in search of his father's donkeys, was he not? And he did not find them. In his mind, he might have thought, boy, God's not helping me at all here. I need to find these donkeys and get back to Dad, because Dad's going to be all upset if we don't hurry up and get back. Folks, was God's providence working? Oh, yeah. What Saul may have thought was a bad thing, God was going to turn into a wonderful thing, wasn't he? Anointing king of Israel. He had no clue. That's what God was doing in his life that day. You see, I've got to trust the providence of God is always at work in my life. Next one, look to the end. Don't look to the here and now, look to the end. It was bad for Jesus to be on the cross of Calvary, wasn't it? It was a struggle, painful, extreme, sorrowful. And yet the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, he what? Looked with joy to the end, did he not? Oh yes, I have to suffer. Yes, I have to struggle. Yes, I have to die. Yes, I have to shed my blood. But guess what? He looked with joy to the end. And you and I have to do the same thing. Lastly, pray. Pray. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. You see, you and I got to take all of our troubles, all of our anxieties, all of our worries, and just give them to God. And guess what? He'll respond, folks. He'll respond. So I was thinking about the conclusion. 2 points came to my mind. One is this. There is absolutely no perfect Christian. I don't care how long you've been a member of the body of Christ, there is no perfect Christian. Some of us are strong in some attributes. Some of us are strong in other attributes. We all have attributes that you and I need to work on desperately, don't we? And so you see, we're in what we refer to as a growth phase in the Christian life. And that starts at the day we're born into Christ until the day we die. We are always growing. And if this is a problem for you, guess what, folks? Just work on it. Develop it. Make it better in your life until the point that you become an example to others. But having said this, here's something we need to understand. Even though God is long-suffering, there comes a point when God's suffering comes to an end. A while ago we made mention that God was long-suffering in the days of Noah, didn't we? And in the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month and the 17th day of the month, in that same day, the fountains of the deep were broken up. And the windows of heaven were opened. And it rained upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. 600th year. Second month. 17th day of Noah's life. The long suffering of God came to an end, folks. Can you imagine when that day broke forth upon this world? Right now, you and I are living in a period of God's long suffering with mankind. But one of these days, It'll end. You know that? Peter tells us about it in 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 11. We've already quoted verse 9 that talks about the patience of God. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, that is, about the second coming of Christ. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward. You see, right now, the Lord is long-suffering. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's the purpose of His patience. But notice this next point, the promise of His coming. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. One of these days, the patience of God will come to an end. His long suffering will no longer be manifested on this world. Now notice the next point, the preparation of us in this life. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Can you imagine right now if the heavens opened and the Lord descended with a shout, with the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, how we would feel at that moment? My friends, there's one of two responses. A heart of joy to see the Savior, knowing that you'll be saved through Him. Or a heart of grief and regret because I did not prepare for that day. That day's coming. Right now He's patient. He waits for you to come. Do you need to respond to the invitation tonight? If you're not a Christian, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water, for the forgiveness of sins, you can become a child of God. If you're an erring child of God, God's waiting, but His patience will run out, folks. How horrible would it be to know that there's sin in my life, and I don't repent of that, I don't take care of that tonight, I leave this building, and the Lord comes, it's too late. What manner of person ought you to be? You need to respond. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.